Accession number 17393, Reel 1.
Mr. Baranovsky, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
I was born in Poland.
Which town?
In Zborów. That's not very far from Tarnopol. That it was in eastern Poland.
Which year?
Unfortunately, not now in Poland, now in Ukraine.
Which year were you born?
1913.
You were telling me some story about your full name. Is it just Maximilian Baranovsky?
Yes, that's my name. Actually, I don't like that name at all. But my father, who used to work in Austria when the Poland was divided into Austria, Germany and Russia, he was very well over there. And of course he gave me name of one of the Tsars or high society in Austria, Maximilian. My brother, born over there as well, got Franz Josef, Franciszek. That's because my father liked all these names. That's the story. But everybody calls me Mane Komarian. Simply like that.
Did you have your education in Zborov?
Not in Zborov. First education, yes. But my father, when he came to Poland, then was transferred from Zborov to Lublin, in the central of Poland. And I have my education in Lublin up to when I was about 14 or 15. And then my father was transferred to Złoczów, and then I finished my study, first study, so-called matura in Poland, in 1933.
What was your father's job?
He was an officer in Polish Army.
An infantry officer?
Yes, infantry officer.
Of which regiment?
It was in Złoczów. I can't remember the number of that regiment, but it was over there.
Can you tell me more about your education and the job that you got?
My education, what I wanted to be all the time, architect. But when my father died very early, I was then in seventh class in Złoczów, I have to work because my brother was not very well, and I have maintained myself and my brother. And to study architecture, I have to go to Lviv because there was university and academy of architects. But I couldn't do it because I have the job already in Złoczów. Suddenly, I have to decide to do something else because I wanted some education in university. And I started law. After I find myself in Russia and over there, and after the war, I find myself in Rome, in Rome, yes, in 1945, end of war, and we have in army be allowed to study in Italy, and I decided then to go to architecture or in Università della Roma.
When the Germans attacked Poland on the 1st of September 1939, where were you and what were you doing then?
At that time I was in Złoczów, just called to the army because everybody knew that it's a war. And I joined to 52nd Regiment in Złoczów and gone off with that regiment to fight Germans. On 17th of September, Russia attacked from the other side, Poland. it was apparently known to everybody that the Finnish, we haven't got any chance to fight Russia and Germany together. And we decided just to go as soon as possible just through south of Poland to Romania, if possible. Unfortunately, it was too late. It was 21st of September, and we have been surrounded by Russian tanks and army.
Had you been in much fighting during September?
Not much, because the most of fights went through to central, say, Poland and north of Poland, not on the south. Therefore, we just going to the Romania, we decided to go through night and sleep at the day somewhere in a possible only. But I am saying it was just too late, and we have been surrounded by Russians.
What rank did you have in the army?
I was just after so-called military school, just to be officer.
A cadet?
Yes, cadet. I was instead corporal, they call corporal in Poland, just two strips. I become officer just in Italy.
Can you describe what your first sight of the Russian forces was and what impression they made on you?
Terrible impression. I find the soldiers very poorly dressed. Actually, all his arms were on, were taken over the, on them in very bad conditions. And tanks, they only make noises. And if somebody attacked them, then I find later on from friend of mine, then just escape. The Russian in that area. We were not very well equipped because it was just the second part of army. Just to, first army went much earlier, and we went just in the middle of September to fight. Not very well equipped.
Did the Russians say anything to you at first?
Yes, they say that they are friends, they are coming to help us, and we do everything to us. We supply to us cars just to bring us to home. Don't afraid of us, everything will be okay. It happens to be a completely different story.
How did they behave towards you at first?
But
how did they behave towards you at first?
No, actually, they, the first thing where they find us, they started to be a very strong army and say, come here, come there, come there, give your arm to us, but don't worry, we are friends. And all that lies about that they will supply cars and give us some papers actually to be safe and go home, that was lie all the time. They assembled us in a place near Brzeżany, just put us in say carriages, but carriages probably for not human, not animals, say 40, 50 in one carriage without any food. They didn't take care of anything. They put us there, just locked the doors, and off we go to home, not to home, to Russia. Just from Brzeżany, Lwów, to Podvolochiska, there was the boundary, and to Volochiska, on the Russian side.
Was it a camp?
Nothing, open place. When we arrived over there, it was about, say, 2,000-3,000 people at least. And they started at that time to make, say, two columns and sent us in just deep Russia. In one column, they assembled all officers, clerks, every educated people, professors, and on the other one column, just normal people, not educated people. A friend of mine, that Bronek Sheremeta, I told you, were very clever chap, told me, look, over there, we have to go to the left side, yes, because we are educated people, we will be officer, I am officer, that I advise you to escape from that. There is something here over there, we can go and let them go out. Don't you worry. And we go to the other line. I didn't want to do that because all friends were on that left side. Friends from schools and from life in Zlochev. But when I talked longer, maybe he's right. I asked him, what about Geneva Convention? Don't you worry about Geneva. They won't do that. They are liars. And suddenly I said, all right, I will escape. And when the soldier was not looking at my side, I escaped from that row of people. I find later on that all people from that side have been killed in Katyn. And thanks to that chap, I'm alive. When I thought it now, how he was so sure that they will kill the people. I don't know by now even how he can know that. Well, he was right.
Who was this man?
Friend of mine from school, Bronek Sheremeta. He lives now in Poland. The chapel told you escaped from the camp and has been sent back to for 25 years in that lager.
To Kolyma.
To Kolyma.
Was it easy to escape from this column?
There were so many people, and there was, you see, army, all going here and there, over there. There was no supply of food or anything. Everybody would like to go out somewhere, but not to stay over there. It was raining. But I was now very thankful to that chap.
Once you escaped, what happened to you then?
I stayed there in that lager, which was called number 102. That was the Komi SSR called the part when we lived over there in Russia. And we knew that it was the camp who everybody knows is for people who have to work as long as they can and die over there. There was any possibility of escape over there. But at that time it happens just really miracle, because the commandant, actually the man who was just in charge of that camp, he was Russian captain, but not communist, Bielogvardeyets, and he told us, look, I am not actually Russians, but I know that that country is for people who will die here, and I will die with you, because I am as you, prisoner. I have to work as commandant of that area, but I can't go anywhere else, and I have to stay with you. One day, he came out in front of us, just to put us, just to work, and ask who is working here with electrician, radio operator, mechanic. Why? Because my radios, two radios, are not working. And if I have vodka, I have nothing else. Vodka. I drink vodka and I would like listen to music. And one of mistaken chaps, which is said, all right, come on, if you know how to behave with radio, and repair that radio. And he went, he repaired the radio. In meantime, from two radios, he made for us a small detector on a crystal. I don't know if you are familiar with that sort of things. It's only very simple. And we listen to news, not to music. One day we hear the announcement that there is agreement between Polish government in London and Russia, so-called Majski-Sikorski agreement, where all people, Polish people, whenever they are in camp or whenever in Russia, have been released and sent to Polish army, because we are going together to fight Germans. And we told him that. After a week or two, when the radio had been repaired, he couldn't believe it. We asked him, all right, rang to your commandant and ask him about that. Oh, I can't rank him. If he wants something, he can rank me. But we told him, look, if he will not go to work and nothing will be done as it should be done, you will be killed. You know that. He thinks over and said, you are right, I will go. And he rang. Начальство over there to Moscow, whatever, I don't know, and come up for half an hour and told you, true, that is true. How do you know all that? Because I am sure, if we didn't have that small radio, everybody will be killed over there, died over there.
What kind of work were you doing in this lager?
We are building just the track for a railway. Uhta, Kotlas Uhta. A very difficult task, because over there it was, the ground was actually peat bog, wet thing. You have to cut it and take away in wheelbarrow some 200, 300 yards away and put into deep holes between, say, two distances. And that's a very simple job, but primitive instruments. We haven't got any tools for that. Shovel and wheelbarrow, just to look over there, that's it. Things, the norma, just what you have to do just to take some meal, was about, say, 20 square meters. I try first day to do something as much as I can. I done 2 meters, 2 square meters. I realized that it is much too much for me. I won't do that. when I start then not doing it properly, I didn't get food, agree? Only in the morning it was boiled water. You have just to have in something which you have to take, because they didn't give any tools for that either. And if you work and come back and done the proper job, you get a soup which has been made of fish called treska, but it was so badly prepared that say 2 miles you can smell that fish. That not fish, head and tail, the middle was gone somewhere else, not to camp. And I decided that it will be much better for me just not to work and not to get that fish. Maybe I will long a bit longer. That was before that news that we are free people. And luckily, because otherwise, the people who work hard, it takes about 6 or 7 months before we knew that that agreement is made. Several people already were very, very badly sick, because it was a very hard, say, job. All the day just to take it and take it back, and doesn't depend of weather. Minus 40, right, or plus 40 in the summer, because it was that sort of temperature over there. Yeah, I decided just to be old man. I make my face dark, I took 2 sticks under my arms, and they put me to work, yes. But I didn't took anything. I didn't do anything, because that people who, that soldier who was looking at us told Starik, old man, and didn't ask me just to do hard job. And I survived just to that moment when we knew we are free people. But as in total, there was about, I think, 1,800 people in that camp one. I don't know if after 1.5 year, half of that was alive.
What was the camp number?
102, Mezhok.
Mezhok, what does it mean?
Just the name of, oh, that's the one. ASR Lager 112.
Lager 112.
112.
What does Mezhok mean?
Same name like Wimbledon.
A place.
Place.
Were there just Poles in this camp?
Who?
Were there just Polish men in the camp?
All Polish. All soldiers.
Just Polish?
All Polish.
Did they say anything to you? Did the people in charge ever say anything to you about the political situation or the future? Or
they don't alive just to speak to us. There were only those high points where they stay at Borchardt night and day. That's the only thing they have. If somebody try to escape, just they kill him. That's all. There was no question to be asked. Or, no.
You mean execute them?
Yes, simply like that.
How did they execute them?
They killed people simply for that.
By shooting?
Shooting.
Did you see such a...
No, in that time, I haven't heard any shooting. But the people have been lost somewhere. I don't know where. Suddenly, he's not there. You didn't know what happened. Died or transferred to other lager. No.
So once they got the news that you were supposed to be free, what happened to you then?
We decided not to go to work. But they say to us, look, we haven't got anything just to give you. We haven't got any dresses because we were all in all our things we got on us when we have been brought over there. After 1.5 years, because I was there 1.5 years. Nobody got just right side things. Say blouses, say trousers, shoes. Shoes, when you lose the shoes, they are not to be used, just dirty or broken. There was very simple idea. You have that tires of old cars, you cut it, just a piece of that, you put your feet over there, put together some rope, there your shoes. 45 degree minus. Several people were really sick, very, very, very poor. I was lucky because when we were in that, in Poland, when we started to go to Romania and the Russians surrounded us, I took from a car, military car, shoes, one pair of shoes, much bigger than I needed. But I told, Bronek told me that it is Russia lies all the time. And they say that we are going home. I thought, if not home, to Russia. I took that and saved my life, really. But you have to sleep on your shoes because there have been different people over there. Not to lose that. And I managed just to have them till the end. But they couldn't give nothing to us. Finally, they find only that part, trousers, for everyone, but nothing on the top. And so say, okay, go, you can go now to Polish army. But where the army is forming? They didn't say you. We don't know. And the people start thinking, where could it be? Definitely not in the north, because there is no farther where to go. Probably somewhere in the south. And we started to go south. Everybody get by foot, by some car, if you find on the road with horses, or you go and go. It took me nearly 3 weeks to go to the central of Russia, to a place called Totskoye, where first army has been formed, first part. About, I don't know how much, 200 people were assembled there in Totskoye, just central Russia. When we allowed to go out from that camp, they give us some notes saying that we are going to the army and we are allowed to have one meal a day. In there were points for Russia.